Now we're going to have our Bible reading, and it's just one verse this morning, and one really helpful spiritual discipline that I hope many of you will be seeking to do during 2017 is Bible memorization. It's through memorization and meditating on what we know, that we grow as Christians. One of the ways that we grow, one of God's graces to us, is the Bible. And so I thought it'd be great at the start of this year if we try to memorize the verse that we're thinking about this morning. We're just thinking about part of this verse, but it's Hebrews chapter 11. And verse 1, and you can see on the screen, it says, "Now faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see." Let's bow our heads together and let's all pray. Father, as we think about your truth, we pray that it would sink deep into our hearts and it would shape our convictions and the way that we live. We ask for your Holy Spirit's help and we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. It is possible to walk across Morecambe Bay with Arnside Kent's Bank being one of the routes. Personally, I've never done it. I know there's at least one person in the room. There we go. Tony's done it. Anyone else done it? We've got another hand going up. John at the back. Walked across Morecambe Bay. One of the challenges, other than it being quite a long way and walking through water at some points, one of the challenges of crossing Morecambe Bay is that there is quicksand, and that quicksand moves. So as a result, it is ill-advised that you go across Morecambe Bay alone and without a qualified guide, because on the bay there is so much danger and uncertainty. It's essential to have someone who knows where the firm ground is. And the same is true, of course, in life. There are so many dangers lurking, so much ground around us that seems so, so solid, yet cannot take the weight of our souls. And as we move into 2017, there is just so much uncertainty. Like I've said, we're thinking about what is certain, because the only solid foundation we have in 2017 is God and our relationship with Him. But this year, each and every day, be under no illusion about this, our enemy, Satan, will seek to damage our faith. He will try and make us think that God is not good, or he will try and make us think that God can't be trusted, or that God doesn't exist. And in each little temptation, he will be trying to work and make us go his way rather than God's way. Now, that'll come in many guises. It'll be through the world. It'll be through our own flesh. It'll be through people who snigger perhaps at us for being Christians. What are you going to do in 2017 when the enemy is sticking his boot in and you have this thought going through your head, well, is it all true? Is it worth following? What are you going to do? Our key verse this morning said, "Now faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see." So that verse is telling us it is possible for us to be certain of things that we cannot see with our eyes. And this morning with Alex, we looked at a couple of pieces of evidence, but I want to just look at three simple pieces of evidence that we can go back to time after time to help us to be certain of what we do not see, namely God and our relationship with Him and all the wonderful things that means for us. And these are all obvious. You could probably predict what I'm going to say this morning. But the first evidence that helps us to be certain is the Bible. Several years ago, we looked at three tests that are applied to ancient manuscripts and to ancient documents. And these tests, the first one, and we're not going to go through these in any length, we're just going to do them quickly. The first was the bibliographic test. And this seeks to confirm the reliability of what we have written down and how much it corresponds to the original document. So Mark, for example, if you turn in your Bible, you don't have to turn in your Bible, but if you did turn in your Bible, you could find the Gospel of Mark. Mark, when he was writing his gospel, he didn't write several billion copies. Okay, so apparently there are about 6 billion Bibles that have been produced. Mark didn't write 6 billion copies of his gospel, so that when someone's producing a Bible, they just pull one off the shelf and slot it in. Neither did he have a laptop computer and a printer where he could change the quantity to 6 billion. I mean, imagine how many reams of paper that would take, and the printer would be churning them out. That's not what Mark did. Mark wrote down his gospel once. And then it was passed round to people. Now, this is my Bible, and this Bible I've had for about 10 years. I'm the only person that uses this Bible, and as you can see, it's got sellotape on this end, holding it together. I think it probably has sellotape. Oh, no, it doesn't have sellotape inside, but the cover was nearly off at one point. This, I've been using this, like I say, for 10 years. Imagine, oh, it's got sellotape on the inside cover. Imagine if everyone in this room, this was the only Bible we had. Imagine that. This was the only Bible we had. Imagine what it looked like if I had it for a few hours one day, and then I passed it to Marlene, who passed it on to Summer and to Jill, and this got passed around the whole congregation during a week. Imagine what this Bible would look like after 10 years. It would probably not be in existence. It would just be totally worn out. That's what happened to Mark's gospel. It got totally worn out. So that means today we don't have a copy of Mark's original manuscript, but many, many people took copies of it. So what some really clever people do is they go to the oldest piece of the copies of Mark's gospel that we have, and they compare them. And they see how reliable they are and how they are the same as each other. And I'm not going to go into all the details. We could do, and we have done in the past. But basically, the Bible is far more reliable than any other piece of any other historical document. So if we cannot trust the Bible, we cannot trust any other piece of history. The Bible is totally reliable on that test. The next test is something called the external test. And this sees if there is any evidence outside of the Bible that supports the Bible. And there again, there are hundreds of evidences and examples of this that we could go to. This is one of them that I just came across recently, which I love. For a long time, critics questioned the accuracy of Daniel 5. Daniel 5 mentions a Babylonian king named Belshazzar. Archaeological evidence and records shows that there's a king that I can't pronounce the name of, who was king at that time. And archaeological evidence didn't mention Belshazzar. So everyone said, Daniel 5 isn't accurate, the Bible can't be trusted. Yet in 1956, three stone slabs were found. And these slabs showed that while the king that I can't pronounce the name of went off to war to fight the Persians, he entrusted the kingdom to his son Belshazzar. So there we have a slab, some pieces of rock, that confirm what the Bible teaches. The other thing that they do when looking at older documents is the internal test. And this is my favorite. What this does is looks at what does this document say about itself? Does it contradict itself? Is it reliable? Many skeptics who believe internet blogs over God's word say that the Bible is full of errors. This is what one man writes. The Bible is unlike any other religious book. Despite 40 authors writing from three continents over nearly 2,000 years, it maintains perfect consistency of message. Its words continually point to Christ, whose work on the cross was ordained by God, the true author of the Bible, before the world began. On a Monday evening, we've been looking at different Bible books, one every week. And it's been thrilling to see every single week that what that book, each book was doing is showing that God's purposes are right on track. That the Savior is coming. Jesus is coming. See, the Bible internally is consistently saying the same thing time after time. If you went into W.H. Smith's or a newsagent's, you could buy all manner of magazines that give all manner of opinions on all sorts of different things. But opinions change. Ideas come and go. Ideas that people state today might be totally disregarded in 10, 5, even 1 year's time. But the Bible, the ideas in the Bible haven't come and go. They have remained unchanged, right first time. How can we be certain of our faith? Because of the Bible. There is no other document like it. It contains everything that we need to know. In fact, in part of the Bible, it says, all scripture is breathed out and is used by God and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training righteousness so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. If you want to know how to be thoroughly equipped for every good work in 2017, open your Bible. We can be confident, we can be certain of our faith because the Bible is reliable. The timeless truths of the Bible will guide us through the quicksands of life. The next, that's one piece of evidence. The next is something we remembered last week, and we remember in all December, is the incarnation. How can we be confident about what we cannot see in 2017? How can we believe that the invisible God exists? Well, because of what we celebrated 1 week ago, the incarnation. Christianity is built on the evidence that the invisible God became visible. The Word became flesh so that we could see Him and so that we could know Him. We can be certain of what we hope for because God walked on planet Earth. People saw Him and wrote down what they saw. Jesus shows us exactly what God is like. It says in Colossians, "For God was pleased to have all His fullness dwell in Him." That is, in God the flesh. If somebody said to you, why are you, not why did you become a Christian, but if someone said to you, why are you still a Christian, I wonder what your answer would be. If someone asked me that question, I think I would say something like, well, I'm convinced that Jesus is who He claimed to be. Jesus is who He claimed to be. The evidence for Jesus is overwhelming. I mean, we set our calendar dates by Him, don't we? BC, before Christ. AD, in the year of our Lord. No serious historian would doubt His existence. But is He who He said He was? Well, C.S. Lewis very famously said this: "I am trying here to prevent anyone saying the really foolish thing that people often say about Him. I'm ready to accept Jesus as a great moral teacher, but I don't accept His claim to be God. That is one thing we must not say. A man who was merely a man and said the sort of things Jesus said would not be a great moral teacher. He would either be a lunatic on a level of a man who says he's a poached egg, or else he would be the very devil of hell. You must make your choice. Either this man was and is the Son of God, or else a madman, or something worse. You can shut him up for a fool. You can spit at him and kill him as a demon. You can fall at his feet and call him Lord and God. But let us not come with any patronizing nonsense about him. He's been a great moral teacher. He has not left that open to us. He did not intend to." What the incarnation shows us about God is that God exists and that He is real. And what message do we get from God becoming a man? Jesus means God is salvation. Just think about that. God is coming into the world. He can choose any name He wants for Himself. What name does He choose? Does He choose holy? Does He choose wrathful? Does He choose king? Does He choose judge? No. He chooses the name Savior. Jesus, rescuer. That's what God wants us to know about Himself in the incarnation. Psalm 86, verse 5, if you don't know it yet, memorize it, says, "For you, O Lord, are good and forgiving, abounding in steadfast love to all who call upon you." That is God. A God who abounds in steadfast love. And we see that in the incarnation. How can we be confident in our faith? How can we be confident in the invisible God? Well, all we need to do is look back into history, into actual real history, into the actual real land of Israel. Actually, there was a feeding trough that in history God was placed in. The Lord Jesus lived in Israel. He slept there. He ate there. He did amazing things there. Real history evidence so we can be certain of our faith. Third and final piece of evidence. So we've already seen the Bible is evidence for the existence of God. We've seen the incarnation, the fact that God became man. Third piece of evidence, this is really important, that we can be confident, certain of our faith, is the resurrection. Jesus died and He rose again. The skeptic, someone, an unbeliever, the person who doesn't believe in the Lord Jesus and what He achieved, has to explain to us why the tomb is empty. They have to explain to us why no one has ever found Jesus' body. I mean, what options are there? Well, There are many, aren't there? Some people said Jesus went to Jesus' disciples went to the wrong tomb. Some people said Jesus wasn't really dead. Other people said the Romans had the body. Loads of problems with all those theories. No, Jesus, the Bible tells us, rose from the dead and was seen by people. Not just one or two people, hundreds of people. Not just in one place, but multiple places. Doing loads of different things. Eating, teaching, walking. And what's more, these people who claim to have seen Jesus wouldn't keep quiet about it. Of his first followers, all of them were willing to die for the fact that they believed he was alive. So in 2017, how can we be confident in the existence of God? How can we be certain of what we hope for that we cannot see? Well, we can be certain because we have a Bible in our hands. We can be certain because of the incarnation. And we can be certain because Jesus died, but he rose again. He's alive. Death is dead. Love has won. Christ has conquered. We've not had time to go into the details of those things. We could say many, many other things. But what I want to do now as we close is we're going to listen to a song. And this song, as it's been played, there's going to be different verses on the screen. Because all we've done this morning is just look at some of the evidence. We've not even gone into the details of what God says about himself in the Bible. But what's going to appear on the screen are some different verses that we can rely upon as truth in 2017. The song that's been played will be a song that some of you know. It'll be a song that some of you perhaps don't know. And this song is simply affirming truth about God, certain things that we believe. In an uncertain world with lots of dangers, with lots of quicksand, these things are truths that we can be sure about that will support our lives. So we'll watch this and then I'll stand again and we'll pray and then our service will be over. I believe in God, our Father. I believe in Christ. Father God, in a year full of uncertainty, we thank you that we have somewhere certain to go. We thank you that you have said, never will I leave you. Never will I forsake you. And Father, during this year, as we face the unknown, help us to continually keep being able to say, I believe in God the Father. Father, help us to keep our eyes fixed on you, even though 2017 will hold many trials and challenging circumstances for us all. Now, Lord, we pray that you would teach us more about yourself than we already know. Humble us again with all that we do not know, and make what we do know more alive and real in our hearts so we live lives pleasing to you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.